What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today is the 4th of July, and there may be people hearing this podcast all over the world, but it is also the first Friday. And today, all over the world, we're celebrating the love of God for every nation, for every people, for every tongue, for every tribe. And we here in the United States are celebrating the love of God for our country. And there's a beautiful song, God Bless America, that God has blessed this land. It's so blessed that many, many people around the world want to come and live here. And there are people who are coming here who are here illegally, millions of them. And so this is a land, and we have known it to be a land of freedom and a land of immigrants and a land of opportunity. And sad to say, in many ways, at least around the world. I remember, Chris, I was in South America. This is years ago, and was in the mid-60s, and there was war going on in Vietnam. And all over the world, America was being criticized and ridiculed as being a nation that was neo-colonial and picking on small countries. It was very negative war in Vietnam. And I was there with some priests from all over the world, really. And I was spending some years there. And it was in that period where Americans were very much criticized. And it was in Peru, it was a South American country. And there were many Latin American nations that were against and saying negative things about the United States. And so I had a 4th of July party. And I remember all the things that, and I was stationed actually with an Englishman. And remember what 4th of July is. It's where America stood up against the tyranny of Britain. And Britain at the time was the master and the power of the world. They were the most powerful nation. And these little ragtag army under George Washington declared their freedom from this enormously powerful country. And they fought for their freedom, and they won their freedom. And they declared their freedom. And that's what July 4th is. It's a statement against tyranny. It's a statement against the autocratic power over people. It's a statement on behalf of a little tiny group of states, the United States at that time, under their little constitution that they declared. And it seemed so insignificant in the world of that time. This little country, and they were Americans. They were a land of immigrants. They came from other countries. They were most of all, and they were a land of opportunity. And so as we look, and what does the world hear today from the church? The church hears a stern warning, because we must all over the world respect the poor, the lowly, the small. And we hear from this magnificent prophet, Amos. And listen to this, those of you in this country who are into lobbies. And as the rich get richer here in this land of opportunity, and as the poor get poorer, this is the statement that the church presents to the world. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor in the land. When will the new moon be over, you ask, that we may sell our grain, and the Sabbath be over, that we may open our bins? We will diminish the ephah, and we will fix our scales for cheating. We will buy the destitute for silver and the poor for a pair of dolls. Even the worthless grain we will sell. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into dirges. I will cover the loins of all with sackcloth and make every head bald. I will make it like the time of mourning and for an only child, and its outcome like a day of bitter weeping. There's doom for those in our country who are taking such advantage of the poor. And so, America, heed the warning. What is it about America? You know, we have that, and it is true. God loves America. God loves us. God loves the world. He loves each of us. Wherever you're listening to this in the world, God loves us. The Sacred Heart of Jesus on this First Friday is presenting to the entire world the divine love. He's holding out his Sacred Heart. He is appearing right now through these words to you, every human being in the world, and you who are celebrating July 4th in the United States. What is the image as you wake up this morning in this wonderful day of July the 4th, 2014? The divine love, the love of God for each and every one in this country, in this land. The teaching of the church today for the entire world tells us, yes, there is a bitter warning for those who are so, and you know, and we are in that line. Although the United States has been the land of freedom, we have become a land of slaves. Yes, although we have fought so much for freedom, how many who are right today in your families and may or may not be listening are slaves of drugs? Millions of Americans are addicted to drugs, are slaves of alcohol, are slaves of pornography. Millions and millions are addicted. There are so many who are spending because they are under the slavery of these addictions. We have fought for our freedom, and many of our children and many of our people are slavery, under the slavery. This land of opportunity, how many who may be within your family and within your area, whether you're in the Southwest or any other place in this country, who have people who are frightened because they are people sin papeles. They are here illegally. And our doors, this, give me your poor, your downtrodden. Give me those people, the shores of America used to say. And when they're here, what are we going to do with them? They're hunted and they're unwanted. And we have no answer to that right now for millions and millions of people who are here. And yet this was the land of freedom. This was the land of immigrants. What does Jesus say to us today? His love. He says it again. And people will look. When I was in South America, the things I heard about Americans, and that I would hear it from those priests. And I remember being so angry at the way people looked at us, at the ugly American. Our country may appear so many times as an ugly country in the Middle East, in Russia, in the Balkans, in Indonesia. Jesus says today, as Jesus passed from them, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's post. He said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed Jesus. While he was at table in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisees saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" He heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn this meaning of the word, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice.' I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Yes, we Americans are sinners. We have committed many sins. What do I love, I think, most of all about being an American and about the country? Our sins are usually exposed to the whole world. Our good deeds, many times, as Americans, are hidden. And so, although we appear so to so many, you know, in the church, how often, you know, do I spent that time that I was talking about in South America because of Cardinal Cushing of Boston. He established a group of the missionaries of St. James the Apostle. And he started in Boston a community. It was called St. James Society that I joined. And their priests who went from Boston and any other English-speaking country to Latin America to give 5 years minimum of their priestly lives to the service of the church there who had so few priests. Even today, over Latin America, there are so many, although now North America and the United States are impoverished. At that time, there were an excess of priests. So there's where I met Father Rudy Massarelli, Father John Mahoney, and so many, many priests from Boston and other priests from around the world. That's where I met Father Lionel Targett from England. We came there as St. James, and they went to Bolivia, the poorest country in Latin America, to Peru, and to Ecuador, and they're still there. There was that beautiful cardinal in Pittsburgh, Cardinal Wright, who sent his priests to Chimbote. And so many of his priests were there that I would meet there. And priests spending years and years of their lives and dying there, the wonderful priests from Boston, from Pittsburgh, because these wonderful bishops saw the needs of other countries and shared their priests with Latin, the priest poor Latin America, and I still are there. When I was in the Society of the Propagation of the Faith, I was its director for years. We would take juniors in high school. When they were just finishing their junior year, they would volunteer for a mission trip to a third world country. And it was so magnificent when I would see young Americans who would see poverty for the first time, and their hearts were so burning with love for the poor. We would go to Ecuador, we would go to Tanzania, we would go to Mexico, and when they would see the poor, I told their parents, "Give me your children." We would have a retreat before we went so that they would recognize who it was that they were meeting in the poor. And when they would come back, they would be completely transformed so many young Americans had their lives entirely changed by that experience of meeting the poor and serving them. Americans are so generous and so loving. When we would go to Haiti, we'd learn what example that the poor of Haiti used to say, what the eye doesn't see, the heart doesn't feel. So many of us, if we could begin to see the poverty of the world around us, we would begin to see how rich we were here in the United States in comparison to the people of the world. We so many times think of the poverty in America, and there is, but the poverty in the third world, the poverty of Haiti, is a fourth world country. The leaders of those countries, you know, we think we have poor leadership here and we complain. In Haiti, Papa Doc, Baby Doc, these horrible, horrible leaders who just milked their countries and rule them with terror and an iron hand. Haiti is what it is because of its leadership and also its tension and tendency to voodoo, to devil worship. That's there on that island. So we in the United States have such a magnificent, we do, we have our sins, but we have such magnificent examples of love and service and care for others. So many times, you know, I know priests, I know people who, there's Dr. McCaffrey and his wife and his son. He went and they're volunteering in Liberia. And they went there and they moved there as missionaries. Families that go as missionaries. This one seminarian that I'm having now, his whole family went and lived. His father and his mother took him and the children. And his father's a doctor and contributed so much service in Haiti. And when they began to see the poor all around them, the experience that they had. They were from Minnesota. We have in this United States this magnificent history of generosity and of love. Our sins are so well known to the world, and we do have them. But our goodness and our love is so well hidden, and maybe that's the way it should be. I am so proud on this 4th of July day, to announce to the entire world, I'm an American priest. By nationality, you know, what is my nationality? I'm not Lebanese. I met Lebanese. And when I was in Lebanon for 4 years, and I found out my grandparents came from there. My father was born in Pennsylvania, and so was my mother. But I'm an American. And there's a difference. There is a great difference. You who are Afro-American, you're not African, you're American. You're in this country for whatever it is, your experience is here in these United States. If you're from Puerto Rico and you were born here and you were raised here, now America has its pluses and has its minuses, and we do have them, and we have our sins. We invite on this first Friday the whole world to experience the divine love. The divine love is in each and every heart. When that fire of love comes into your heart as a priest, when I see the priests that I remembered in Latin America, when I see the priests that I met in Lebanon, when I see the priests that I met in India, the love of God in every country, if Jesus will radiate through those hearts. When I meet the people in the United States, the mothers and fathers and the children, the teenagers, the experience that I have with all of those young people who would go to a third world country and catch fire when they saw the need the poverty, the injustice around them. And when they themselves would enter into and see, this is my sister here in Africa. This is my brother here in Haiti. And so there was a beautiful woman who worked in the mission office, and her name is Miriam Heberlein. She's known as the Mother Teresa of Scranton. Magnificent love that pours out of her. She and the seminarians that used to go with her, and the priests that would go with her to mission countries. Here in the United States, we have an opportunity to be so much for, on this 4th of July, for the church and for the poor. Yes, I think one of the things that I would like to present today is the image of the United States as a sinner that Jesus has come to visit, and he looks at us. It's a magnificent child of God, America. And it's a beautiful land, and hopefully it will continue to be, and we have threatened our freedoms. It is a land of the free, and it is a home of the brave. And what do we need? America needs Jesus. America needs his Sacred Heart. America needs the love of Jesus. And if you're any place in the world, wherever you are, Venezuela needs Jesus. Tanzania needs Jesus. If you're in Ethiopia needs Jesus. England needs Jesus. His Sacred Heart is open to the entire world. His Sacred Heart is burning with love for the whole world, for the entire universe. He sees every individual in this planet. 6 billion people. If you're living in China, in a little town, and you hear this, Jesus loves you. And if you're hearing this today, on this July 4th day in America, God loves you.
Monsignor?
Yes?
In the United States, we have, sometimes I think we get so close to our issues that it causes us not to see the rest of the world as clearly as we could. We're struggling right now with the what the news media has brought up is the immigration issue, and has poured kerosene on top of that issue. It is a fire that has caused such division, and it's such a struggle for Catholics, for Christians in particular, to be able to embrace our brothers and sisters who are coming to the country illegally. And yet there is such a poverty and such a need for them to be able to care for their families, to care for themselves even. And yet there are those who will say, well, they should come in legally. They shouldn't break laws. They shouldn't do this. They shouldn't do that. I mean, how does the Sacred Heart respond to such, in this land of opportunity and freedom, how do we respond to all this?
See, I find our media to be so divisive giving either one side or the other in the conflict, and either feeding it at whatever is going to sell newspapers for them. And that's what Amos was talking about. Woe to you. if you're really out to distort the truth rather than present the truth, the Sacred Heart of Jesus says before Pilate, "I'm a king, and my kingdom is that of truth. I have come to preach the truth." And so Jesus' love is truth. And so the truth of each and every soul and each and every person in the United States that may be here is something that needs to be looked at individually, personally. What is the particular person who's coming in? What is America afraid of with regard to the people coming into the United States? Some are fleeing from all kinds of horrible things of where they're coming from. Why would a family let their babies come to this country, or the women come unprotected? And so what is that truth about each and individual case? He knows. He's the truth. And secondly, the Sacred Heart of Jesus is love itself. So the love and the truth come together and they kiss. Justice as well as mercy come together and embrace. Every law of justice is his. He will bring out of this mess that we have made of the whole immigration thing for years, because it has become a political football. It's who wants to get the Hispanic vote? Who wants to get the black vote? Who wants to this or that? And so I think maybe the Democrats are more adept at it, and the media whips it up, and then the bad guys who look to be the Republicans, and they seem to be cruel and always given the vision of uncaring. And I know people on both sides of that fence. One may be a law for law and order, and the other for mercy and compassion. And neither of them are really many times being honest. And so what we really need more, I think, in this whole issue is, that's my view of it, of the Sacred Heart's view of what's going on. If we would begin to be honest and open and truthful about the issue, I think it could be settled for the sake of so many individuals and the tenderness and care that God has for every one of those so-called illegal immigrants. And their stories are personal stories known to God. And they somehow, in this country, we have a huge challenge there. I don't say it's an easy one, but this is the home of immigrants. And this is the place where people are welcome. And this can be the home and the future place for these generations to come. And I believe with love and with justice and with honesty, this can be resolved. Let's pray for that. On this first Friday, ask the Sacred Heart that his law of justice and his law of love be put into effect. We have ignored his law of the unborn in this country, and it has made us a land of self-serving people. I can't be talking to 50 million mothers and fathers who killed their own baby when it was unborn and feel like I'm talking to a land of people who are out for justice, for the rights of people. You killed your baby. And so there's a hardness coming over this land because we have ignored the law of Jesus. What is in your heart for the immigrant when you killed your own baby and denied its right to come into this world? United States is getting a hardness of heart through this horrible law that justifies the killing of babies. The first one that we're denying entrance to in this country is the unborn. And that is a horrible thing. And the stench of that goes up before God. The 50 or 55 million babies that were killed are before the throne of God. And he sees every one of you parents who killed your baby. And so when you talk about compassion for the immigrant and you deny entrance into this world to your own child, we have a sense of injustice already afoot. But there are those many, many people who are in the United States who see the right of the unborn as well as the right of the immigrant. It's also the home of the brave, you know, Chris. It's the land of immigrants and the land who, but it's also the home of the brave. And I really believe that what we need are warriors. Warriors for peace. Warriors for justice. Warriors to defend the rights of the poor. Warriors to defend the rights of the unborn. Warriors to defend us against Satan, who has come against us. Warriors against this kind of darkness that can easily overcome our land. But Jesus says to us in the United States, I have come so that you might have mercy. I have not come to condemn you. And today, listen to the Sacred Heart as he comes with compassion as well as justice. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairie to the ocean, white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God loves New York. God loves Omaha. God loves California. God loves Georgia. God loves Louisiana. God loves Minnesota. God loves Washington. God loves America. God loves the whole world. God bless.